When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Raj Punjabi, head of identity content at HuffPost.
And I'm Noah Michelson, head of HuffPost Personal.
Welcome to Am I Doing It Wrong? The show that explores the all-too-human anxieties we have about trying to get our lives right.
Okay, Raj, how wrong do you think you've been fighting colds and flus?
You know what? I kind of think I'm good at this because I have an arsenal of things I bust out as soon as I start to feel a little tickle in my throat.
Yeah.
Drink a lot of water, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they don't always curtail the cold. So I'm thinking maybe not that great. How about you?
Yeah, you hear all these things, right? You hear like, oh, zinc, oh, chicken soup, oh, drink OJ. And I have no idea if any of it really works.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that I'm doing it right or wrong. I'm just confused. I'm like, what if this stuff actually, what cold medicines work? I don't even know. Do they work?
I have no idea.
Is it all placebo? So I need this episode.
I do love a good placebo. Well, thankfully for you and me, today we have Dr. Natasha Bouillon. She is a family physician and medical director of One Medical in Arizona.
Let's get better.
All right, Dr. Bouillon, thank you so much for being here. We are hopefully toward the end of cold and flu season, but I'm ready to learn everything I need to.
Me too.
Let's start right at the beginning with the common cold. To start, what exactly is the common cold? Is there an uncommon cold? Is there a Beyonce cold? Like, what? Tell me what this is.
So this is a great question. Thank you so much for having me on. So I am Natasha Bouillon, she, her. I'm a national medical director at One Medical. I'm also a primary care physician. So I see this all the time. People ask me about this all the time. Now, here's the thing. The common cold is not actually a medical term. It's more of a marketing term. So we don't say the common cold in the medical community. Instead, we talk about people having upper respiratory viruses.
Sure.
And when we think about the common cold, really, it's this idea of an upper respiratory virus that's more mild. The thing that's so complicated about it, though, is it's caused by about 10 different classes of viruses. So things like rhinovirus, which you may have heard of, adenovirus, even coronavirus. But each of these viruses, they have subtypes, they have different strains, they have different mutations. So it's literally more than 200 strains that can cause the common cold.
Wow.
Yeah. And like the thing is, when we get symptoms from the common cold, the symptoms are literally our body fighting off this viral infection. So we get lots more mucus, and that is our body trying to capture the virus and stick it into our body. When we swallow the mucus, our stomach acid, you know, kills the virus. Obviously, we get a fever. And when we have a fever, it's our body trying to fight off the virus as well. But even though our body is doing its job, it can make us all feel pretty miserable.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people it is our body working, but it's our body making us feel miserable. Now, here's the thing about the common cold. The average person gets about 150 colds in their lifetime. So that is all the time, it feels like, sometimes three or four times a year. It's more in kids. Now, the uncommon cold, again, not a medical term, but we think about the uncommon cold as viruses that are more severe. So COVID-19, I don't think anyone would classify that as a common cold. Mm-hmm. It's still an upper respiratory infection, but it's more severe. The flu, it's a lot more severe. So there are more severe upper respiratory infections that we want to be mindful of. But even you think of something like COVID-19, that is a subtype of coronavirus, which other coronaviruses cause pretty mild symptoms. But even with COVID-19, you've also got mutations and different strains like Omicron. So you can see these things are smart. They're always mutating. They're always trying to evade our immune system. And they're always trying to attack and live inside us as a host.
So cold is basically like an umbrella term for all of these different viruses. And when we know that we have one, it's because we're getting these sort of classic symptoms.
Yes. You know, if we've got a functioning immune response, then we do get classic symptoms of upper respiratory infections.
Is it like the flu in that every year there are different variants of quote unquote a cold going around? Or is there always kind of the same cold viruses in the atmosphere attacking us?
So generally, it's always the same cold viruses that are circulating all year long. Now, those viruses can mutate and change every year, but they circulate all year long. That being said, we all know that there is cold and flu season. So cold and flu season might last anywhere from October to March. So why do we get more colds when it's cold? Well, I think there's a few reasons we think why. Number one, during the winter seasons, people are indoors much more often. Right. And when we're gathering indoors in tight spaces, the windows are closed, we are exchanging germs all day long. That can make us more sick. The other thing we know about cold viruses is they actually travel better in dry air. And in the wintertime, we feel less humidity. The cold, dry air, it's a great conduit for viruses to just travel everywhere. And then the other piece of this is when we are cold, our immune system is dampened by the cold.
Definitely.
So even though viruses are traveling around all year long, we tend to get more sick in the winter months. The exception is daycares. In daycares, if you have a child in daycare, they are sick all year long and they are just exchanging those viruses all year long.
Right.
Germapalooza in there.
Completely.
Okay. So I know there, this probably varies depending on what kind of cold you have, but how contagious are we? I mean, COVID really has trained me to wear masks on, you know, public transportation all the time now, but should we be not going to work, mm-hmm. not sleeping the same bed as our partners? Like, tell me about this.
No, these are good questions. It's good to be cautious because even though a common cold isn't deadly, it can still really knock you out. So it's good to be cautious about it. So when we think about infectiousness for viruses, there's this number called an R-naught. And the R-naught really measures how contagious is something. So the R-naught for the flu, it's 1.5 to 3.5. What that really means is if one person has the flu, they will probably get 1.5 other people sick from that flu.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And COVID had a higher R-naught. It was really pretty contagious. So the R-naught for COVID was 1.8 to 3. Oof. And so one person with COVID got three people sick. So more contagious than the flu. That being said, we've got really, really contagious viruses out there. Measles is one of them. And the R-naught for measles, it's 12 to 16.
Wow.
And that's why we tell people, yeah, get vaccinated. Everybody get vaccinated. Because if one person gets measles and there's a few folks around them that are not vaccinated, that's when we start to see outbreaks. Now, the R-naught for a cold, it's closer to one. So it's not as contagious as the flu, not as contagious as COVID, but it's still pretty darn contagious. And if you are living with a partner who is sick, you might be that one person that they make sick. And so I do tell people it's good to take precautions when someone around you is sick. It's good to know how these viruses are spread. So most of these cold viruses are spread via droplets. And that means if someone is sick and they're coughing and sneezing, droplets fly through the air. They might land on you. You might inhale them. They might land on a surface. If they land on a surface, they can actually be contagious for 24 hours. And so I do tell people, you know, it's different for different people. But the best advice I have is if you are sick, stay at home so you can rest and recover. And stay at home so you don't get all of the people around you sick. Now, I understand that that's actually really hard in our American culture. In our American culture, we have this culture of powering through. So yep. when people have a cold, they keep going to work, they keep going to school. I mean, the other complicating factor that we really need to acknowledge is when people are sick, many people don't have paid sick leave. Right. And so they have to go to work because they don't have a choice. And we create all these barriers for people. The other thing is, I have people reach out to me all the time when they have a cold. Natasha, I need a doctor's note. And you know, that's hard for people. For my patients, they have me as their PCP. They can reach out to me. For other people, they don't have access to a PCP yep. or to healthcare. So to get a doctor's note, that's another barrier. And so to me, as a society, we really need to think about our attitudes around sickness and health and try to promote a culture of health, a culture of resting and recovering. But I think right now, our mindset in this American culture is all about powering through, and we need to allow people the space and time and economics to actually recover.
If we do have a partner, or we're living with someone, or working with someone who has the cold, we don't want to get it. What are some things we can do to prevent getting a cold? Is that even possible?
It's possible to reduce your risk from getting a cold. Yep. So the number one thing I tell people is wash your hands frequently and avoid touching your face, because that is how people often transmit the virus. The other thing, this is hard to say, but avoid getting close to that person who is sick, because when you're close to them, you know, you're a couple feet from them. That is how you can also get sick. I do advise my patients, sleep in a different bedroom if possible. Mm-hmm. You can even wear a mask in your home if possible. I think those are all things that reduce the, you know, the likelihood that you'll get sick. You know, physical barriers, they do help. And even before the pandemic, we knew that physical barriers helped. Gloves, masks, those are effective. Again, not always practical in real life settings, but that's what we've used in the healthcare settings, again, even before the pandemic. Now, all that being said, those were really kind of low hanging fruit things that I recommended. There's a lot of other studies on all kinds of remedies on right. preventing yeah. cold.
Yeah.
And the problem with all of these studies is there aren't really tons of large scale randomized controlled trials. They're usually small scale studies. They're usually poor quality. And the reason is these remedies don't have giant pharmaceutical companies backing them mm-hmm. with lots of money.
Right.
The other problem is it's tricky to measure the outcomes of a cold. You know, are we looking at, when does your runny nose stop? When does your cough stop? Are we looking at people reporting how they feel with subjective symptoms? Or are we measuring how quickly does this remedy help someone return to work or school? Mm-hmm. And that's why ultimately you hear so many mixed recommendations about cold remedies.
I want to specifically, we hear everywhere from, you know, commercials to TikTok or whatever, boost your immunity, right? Mm-hmm. We want our immune system to be its strongest. But I have an, you know, irking feeling that it's impossible to boost your immunity overnight with like echinacea and, right. you know, all, like Zinc. A lot of vitamin C.
Yep.
So tell me, like, is it just that we need to be for all of our lives be as healthy as possible for a healthy immune system?
Yeah. Look, the best way to boost your immunity is to get sleep. It's to exercise daily for 30 minutes, and it's to eat healthy, just a healthy diet with fresh fruits and vegetables and proteins, right? That's the overall like key to boosting your immunity. But an overnight immune boost, it really doesn't pan out. And, you know, there's different studies about, for example, vitamin C. Mm-hmm. And what we found is the studies are pretty mixed. And they've found that if you take vitamin C regularly, you might be able to reduce the duration of a cold if you get a cold by half a day. Now, does that mean everybody should go out and start taking a vitamin C supplement? Not exactly, because even within those studies, they found there was differences on the optimal dose and there was clarity on the optimal dose. And so for me, it's reaching for vitamin C at the first sign of a cold. It likely won't help. Taking vitamin C regularly might help reduce a cold duration if you get a cold, but you see that's couched in a lot of ifs and it might not be worth the bang for your buck.
Well, what about if you're an A+ student and you try to regularly eat a lot of kale and oranges and lemons, you know, and you're getting that from food?
You know, and that is great. So I do recommend that. I think that's always great to eat foods that are rich in vitamin C, foods that are rich in green leafy vegetables, tons of antioxidants. So for me, that's just an overall healthy lifestyle that helps your overall immunity, but it's not helping you that moment that you're feeling cold symptoms come on.
Yeah. Let's talk just for a second about zinc, because I think that is one that people think, or we've heard, zinc can stop a cold in its track. There's even like Zicam, which I think is something that delivers zinc to your body through your nostril or a spray. What do you think about zinc?
Yeah, zinc is all very hot topic in medicine. So here's one thing about zinc. The zinc trials are not that great. Mm. And the reason why is because zinc actually tastes pretty terrible. And so even if you're trying to do a trial and give half the people zinc and half the people a placebo, the placebo group knows they have a placebo because can't even make a compound that tastes as terrible as zinc. So already right off the bat, the trials with zinc are not that great. The other important thing about zinc is that it comes with a lot of side effects. So people can get nausea from taking zinc on an empty stomach. People get an upset stomach. All of those things kind of point to zinc comes with its own risks. That being said, there are trials that show if you take zinc at the first sign of a cough or cold, you're feeling a scratchy throat. You might feel a sore throat. Take 10 to 15 milligrams of zinc, it might reduce the amount of colds that you get in the winter months. Mm. And also, it might reduce the duration of a cold. So with zinc, there might be some evidence that it's helpful. But again, the studies aren't that great. And so the evidence is not that compelling. You mentioned echinacea. Echinacea studies pretty resoundingly show that it doesn't work. Uh-huh. And that I tell people, save your money with echinacea. There's no studies that show a clear benefit. Other things out there, like I hear a lot about airborne supplements.
Yeah.
Airborne is interesting because it has a great story behind it. You know, it was founded by a teacher and they're getting sick from their classroom. Airborne is filled with vitamin C and zinc. It's not regulated by the FDA. There haven't been good quality studies on it. I don't recommend it to my patients because there's no evidence that it clearly works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I keep thinking about like trying to escape the beginning of a cold. So I'm going to tell you the first thing I do when I feel a scratchy throat is pound water, like extra hydration. Mm. Is there anything in that? I feel like water always helps with everything.
No, but I think water actually is helpful because it can help break up your mucus. Okay. And so staying hydrated and giving yourself water, I think that is a good idea to do. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to stave off the cold or prevent the cold, but I tell people rest and fluids is really the key. Going back to the zinc, though, you mentioned Zicam.
Right.
And Zicam is a product that's over the counter and it's basically a zinc product. One thing that's notable about Zicam, it came out as a zinc nasal spray. And there was actually some evidence that zinc in your nostrils might work and zinc in your oral passages might work at fighting off that virus. But the side effect was it destroyed people's sense of smell. And so it was actually pulled off the market because look, even if you have this thing that may work, the side effects are so intolerable, losing your sense of smell forever, that it was pulled from the market. And so this is why I think with any supplement, you have to proceed with caution.
Yeah.
You don't want to put yourself in any kind of dangerous position.
Yeah, and weigh the benefits. You know, if you're maybe the cold's going to be lessened for a half a day, is that really worth everything you're doing?
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
So Raj, tell me, how is your social battery right now?
You know, today it's pretty high and vibrant, but it varies day to day.
That makes total sense because it's super easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Truly. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. For me, therapy has been illuminating. Just to be able to process day-to-day anxieties has helped me so much. I kind of wish that for everyone.
Well, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/doingitwrong today and get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/doingitwrong.
Welcome back to Am I Doing It Wrong?
Let's say we tried all the things, none of the things worked, and we have a cold. What do we do to treat a cold? Can we treat a cold? Or is it just like you have to ride it out?
Ultimately, there's no cure for the cold. Like, we don't have a vaccine. We don't have a medicine that cures it. We do have lots of different medications that you can take that can reduce the symptoms that you experience that make you miserable. So for example, analgesics, those are medicines that reduce the fever. When you take a Tylenol, you're like, great, I don't have my fever. I don't feel like the shivers and the cold. So I think that's very reasonable. There's lots of other meds that I do recommend for people. I think cough suppressants are great. And dextromethorphan is one of the most common cough suppressants over the counter. Look, it works. It helps suppress your cough if you want to take it. There's also things that thin out your mucus. So we call it an expectorant. So guanfacine thins out your mucus. A free way to thin out your mucus is to stay really, really hydrated. That also thins out your mucus. Mm-hmm. I mean, that certainly makes you feel better. Menthol, it's also another natural treatment. You can kind of rub that on your chest. It's soothing. It kind of helps. And then I think the other category is antihistamines. So antihistamines are interesting. They ultimately just dry you out. But some of the older antihistamines, they might inhibit a certain neurotransmitter that can just decrease some of our mucus secretion. So there are meds out there that help reduce our symptoms. But I think we all need to be mindful of, it's not going to get us cured faster. It's not going to get us healthy faster. Really, we need to let our own bodies fight off this virus.
Okay, I have to ask you about some of the more unserious, you know, cold cures that you've seen, that you've talked to your patients about. They're all over TikTok. A couple of years ago, you know, I actually commissioned a story about NyQuil chicken. Have you heard about this?
I've heard of that. I saw that on TikTok as
so
well.
So disgusting that you're like supposed to boil the chicken in NyQuil. I mean, you know, I read that it can be very dangerous because you're boiling out a lot of things and consuming some dangerous stuff. But tell me about some unserious cold cures you've experienced.
I have patients ask me all the time about cold cures because they want to get better fast. So one of the things I've heard about recently is garlic cloves up the nose.
Oh,
and I think it's this idea of garlic cloves acting as a decongestant. And garlic cloves up the nose can actually be really dangerous and can really irritate your nasal passage. The other things I've heard about are always related to socks. So it's this idea of one is go to bed wearing wet socks. And the other is put, you know, sliced up potatoes inside your socks and go to bed. And it's this thought of it will pull the cold virus like into your feet and out of your body. No evidence that that works.
No.
And you're going to feel really uncomfortable. But, you know, some of these remedies, like at best, you laugh at them. But at worst, they can actually be really dangerous for people, you know, even that NyQuil chicken, people can overdose on NyQuil.
Yeah.
People get sick from eating raw chicken. So there are actual real dangers here. And if the other piece of all this too, is there's like an economic risk, you know, people are spending tons and tons of money to feel better and they are just burning their money because these things don't work.
I would say never stick something up your nose. I remember my brother's friend stuck a peanut M&M up his nose and he had to go to the hospital to get it removed because he stuck it so far up there.
You know,
so
I would go even further. I agree with you, but never stick anything up anywhere that's like, you know, you're doing this as a remedy.
Right.
I know that like for yeast infections, I've read in like certain magazines are like stick a tampon of yogurt up your chooch. And you're like, did you? This is why you need to have a good relationship with a doctor or your doctor. Because you need to talk honestly about what you're about to do. Okay.
Debunk some of that.
I love when people can get real with me. And I also love people can message me, right? So this is one good thing that's come out of the pandemic is hopefully we are delivering healthcare in a way that's more accessible. So people don't always need to schedule a visit with me to get in touch with me. They can send me a message. We can do some chats online. Send me a message if you have any questions. Reach out to your PCP if you have questions about what you're about to do. And even some of these over-the-counter meds, my patients will reach out to me about over-the-counter meds because we know that many of them might not work as well. You all might have heard about the over-the-counter medication that was basically said to be ineffective. I don't know if you've heard about that.
We wanted to talk about that because it was such a huge news story in the fall where basically all of these medicines supposedly didn't work at all, or they had ingredients that were doing nothing and they've been on the market for years and years and years. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So it's really interesting because the over-the-counter decongestant that does work, it's pseudoephedrine. Mm-hmm. And pseudoephedrine, it's one of those meds that acts as a decongestant. It's often behind the counter. And the reason why is people can use it to make illicit substances. And so there's a limit on the quantity that you can get. So doctors have always advised if you wanted a good decongestant, take pseudoephedrine. The other one that's available over the counter was phenylephrine. And doctors kind of always knew that doesn't work. Oral phenylephrine just doesn't work. Like, you're spending money on this thing and you're taking it because it's easier to get than pseudoephedrine, but it doesn't work. And then finally the FDA this year came out with a statement that said, yeah, as it turns out, it doesn't work, but it's something that the medical community always knew. That being said, the nasal phenylephrine is effective as a decongestant. And so I think that being said, it's so complicated, right? Like, I'm just listing off all these different ingredients and meds. It's so complicated. I think for the average person, I would rather them just reach out to their PCP if they have any questions about what to use.
What should we be avoiding when we're in the thick of our colds? Okay. I'm just going to say, I've heard and read that you want to avoid dairy because it can make your phlegm worse. But my last cold I had an amazing French onion soup with like a giant ball of Gruyere on it. And okay, I needed it.
It's interesting. This is actually a trick that your body is playing on you. So, okay. Drinking milk doesn't actually create more phlegm. It doesn't make your mucus worse. I think it's really just our body is sensing that we have more phlegm because when milk and saliva are mixing together, they can create a little bit of a thick liquid and it coats your throat. But it is fine to drink milk when you're sick. No reason to avoid that.
Okay, because the Gruyere made me feel better. And I was like, screw this. Yeah, I need the Gruyere.
Go for it.
Yeah.
If it works for you, go for it.
Here's a question that I know Raj is just like biting at the bit to ask.
I am.
What about alcohol?
I bring this up during every episode. I'm like, can I drink while doing A, B, and C?
Yeah. So can you drink?
What about a hot toddy? I know some of the answer to this. Yeah.
Oh, hot toddies. People reach for hot toddies. Okay. Here's what I have to say as a doctor. We do want people to avoid alcohol because alcohol is just inherently dehydrating. Mm-hmm. And so because it's dehydrating, it's not going to make you feel better. I know that some people feel like, well, alcohol might be killing the virus in the back of my throat.
Right.
There's no science to that. There's no research that shows alcohol is killing the virus at all. All it's doing is making you dehydrated. And look, it might make you sleepy. A hot toddy might make you feel relaxed. If somebody wants to take it, I'm not going to say outright no, but I don't recommend alcohol when you're sick. There's a lot better fluids to reach for, like water.
Is there any reason not to take medicine for a cold? I come from sort of this idea that, like, I don't need medicine. I don't want it in my body. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people feel that way. But am I being an idiot? Should I just try and get rid of some of my symptoms?
I actually think the way you're thinking about it is the right way to think about it. Every medicine comes with side effects. Mm. Every medicine comes with risks. I think we should be respectful of these meds. Like, they are over the counter, they're easy to get, but they all come with risks. You know, even something like pseudoephedrine, which we know works in reducing your symptoms, it can also increase your heart rate. It can also increase your blood pressure. And look, if you're healthy and that's not a problem, then go for it. But if you've got underlying issues, you have to be cautious. That being said, I also don't think it's necessary to power through and say, mm-hmm. I'm feeling miserable, but I'm not going to take anything because I don't want anything to touch my body. So mm-hmm. it's nuanced, right? Most things in healthcare are nuanced. And so I tell people, you've got to weigh the risks and benefits. And if feeling better and having temporary relief provides a benefit to you without too many side effects, then go for it.
Okay. I like that.
I like it too. A little balance. Mm.
Balance. All right. Everything is balance.
Always. Let's start talking about the flu, because I think that's like an enigma for a lot of people too. I get my COVID vaccine every year the day it comes out. The flu vaccine, I'm a little more lackadaisical about. Do we need it every year? How early should we be getting it? Mm-hmm. Just give us the
questions.
Lowdown.
Yes. Okay. I do recommend the flu vaccine every year. And look, we know that the flu vaccine isn't perfect. It can prevent your risk of getting the flu by about 60%. The reason that it's not perfect is every year we're trying to predict what flu strains are going to be circulating in this country. And we actually look at places like Australia. We look at what flu strains did they have. Okay, we think these are the strains we'll have, and let's make our new concoction of the flu vaccine. You know, it still is useful though, because the flu does hospitalize people. It does kill people. And the biggest thing I try to convey to the people is, when you get the flu vaccine, you're reducing your risk of getting the flu, but you are also reducing your chance of catching the flu and spreading it to other people.
Right.
If more people got the flu vaccine, we would have less circulating flu viruses. And that means people who are older or immunocompromised, they wouldn't end up being hospitalized for the flu. So I do recommend it. Here's what I hear from people, though. I hear a lot of folks are reluctant to get the flu because they think that the flu vaccine will actually cause the virus. And that's not true. There is no research that shows the flu vaccine can cause a flu virus. That just doesn't happen. The best time to get the flu vaccine, it's around September or October, like ahead of flu season. It takes about 2 weeks to work and then it kicks in. The other thing I hear is people feel like, well, I got my flu vaccine and then I feel like I did get the virus. And what might be happening is people are getting the flu vaccine in October and November, when the virus is already circulating. And so they might actually catch the virus before the vaccine has fully worked. But I think there's a lot of nuances here. And I think this goes back to, it's about you as an individual, but public health is actually about all of us.
Totally.
It's about protecting yourself, but it's about protecting the people around you. And that's the number one reason to get the flu vaccine, is to protect the people around you. If you are young and healthy and you're not worried about the flu.
I'm going to change that about myself because my usual timing for the flu shot is when my mom has nagged me enough that I want to just die. Mm-hmm. So that's when I go into CVS and get it. But now I'm going to do it in October because I want everyone to be healthy.
Yeah, I do mine in October. What if you already have had the flu? Let's say you didn't get it in time. Is there still a benefit to getting a flu shot after you've had it?
There is a benefit. The reason why is there's different strains of the flu virus that are circulating at any given time. And so if you've caught one strain, it's still worth getting the vaccine because it'll protect you from the other strains.
That makes total sense.
And what if we already have it? You know, it's a doozy. What medicines are there out there to treat it with? I've heard of Tamiflu. That's the only one I've heard of.
Yes. Luckily, you know, unfortunately for the cold, we don't have any medicines to treat it. But for the flu, we do have some targeted antivirals that work to treat a flu. So basically, the way that these antivirals work is they target an enzyme that helps the flu virus replicate. And so if you get this antiviral, it reduces the virus from being able to replicate. So we say that not everybody needs an antiviral that gets the flu, because a lot of folks, they can just rest and hydrate and get better. But there are some people who, again, they're older, they might have other chronic medical conditions. If they take Tamiflu or an antiviral, it will reduce their duration of being sick. But more importantly, and really most importantly, it reduces their risk of hospitalization. Okay. And it reduces their risk of death if they are hospitalized. And so, I mean, we got to take the flu seriously, because the cold doesn't kill people. The flu kills people. Mm-hmm. And so we need to make sure that we are getting vaccinated, taking the antivirals when appropriate. And here's the other kicker, right? When someone has the flu, they don't always know they have it. The flu and cold and COVID, those symptoms all overlap. Mm. You've got a stuffy nose, you've got a cough, you've got a fever. You might not know exactly what you have. And this is why it's important to kind of figure out, let me do my rapid home COVID test. Do I have COVID? Okay, no, I don't. Gosh, can I do a rapid a flu test and figure out if I have the flu? It is good to differentiate, because the treatments for each of these things are different.
We had a couple questions that are just sort of like, is this really true? There's this idea that if you go out in the cold or the rain, that you can get sick from that. Is there any truth to that?
Okay, so turns out that mom was wrong about this one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Standing in the cold or rain doesn't actually make you sick. Now, There is a kernel of truth to this because there was a study about this actually. What we found is that when somebody is cold for a long period of time, it can dampen your immune system. And that's really what's happening is when it weakens your immune system, you're more likely to get sick if you're around a virus. And so the study that was done is that we've got in our nasal passages, these nasal cells that essentially, when you encounter a virus, they immediately attack the virus with these little fluid-filled sacs. And that's just how our body is always working. We've done studies and we found that even when you lower the temperature a few degrees in the nasal passage, those sacs are not as effective. And so if you encounter a virus when your nasal passage is feeling really cold, you're not fighting the virus off as well.
Then say you do have a cold, like a little baby cold, and you're outside for a long time, that could make it worse, right?
Yeah, if you have a baby cold and then you go outside, you're weakening your immune system, you're weakening that response. And so your virus now can take hold inside your body.
What about the idea of starving a cold, feeding the flu? That's another one that I think we've all heard. Any truth to that?
No, that's a total myth. I don't even know how this one started, but if you starve yourself when you're sick, you're actually depriving yourself of nutrients that you need to recover.
Terrible.
And so for both conditions, hydration and nutrition is key.
Can our pets, our dogs and cats particularly, get the flu or cold? Can we give it to them? Can they give it to us?
I love this question because we worry about our pets so much. Okay. Now, the research that we currently have shows that the viruses that make animals sick with their versions of coughs and colds are different than the viruses that make humans sick. Mm. So it's very unlikely that we can pass coughs and colds among each other between humans and pets. That being said, COVID gave us some new clarity on this, because with COVID, we were finding instances and stories of animals getting sick and then people also getting sick. So I think this area needs a lot more research, but with the, you know, hundreds of common circulating flu viruses, we think it's really unlikely.
Okay,
that's good, because I like to be all in my baby girl cat's face all the time.
Even when you just have snot flowing.
Just me. She makes me feel better.
I get that.
I mean, when you're sick and you're making your partner sleep in a different bedroom, you want your pet to cuddle with, because now you've kicked out your partner. So you have to have someone to cuddle with.
Listen, she's talking sense.
Yeah, no, completely. What about chicken soup? How good is chicken soup for a cold or the flu? Does it do anything?
Or bone broth.
Yeah. So a couple of studies on this. Actually, we do think chicken soup might actually work. So mom was probably right about this. A couple of things. Chicken soup, it does come with nutrition, right? Because it comes with vegetables and celery and carrots. Chicken soup also has steam. And that steam is really helpful in breaking up mucus. And so that is soothing. And chicken soup has this really great balance of sodium as well as hydration. Because water is fantastic, but when we're getting really dehydrated, we need sodium in our system. And so I think chicken soup is a great thing to reach for. It's soothing and it can help you feel good. I don't think it's going to ever shorten that cold duration, right? So it's not going to cure you, but it's great to soothe you.
Ah, that's so interesting. So it doesn't have anything to do with like specifically the chicken or anything like that. It's all these other things that are making it good for you.
Yeah, I always feel better when I have soup though. And I'm starting to see that it's like really not about shortening your cold. It's about feeling better.
When should we go and see you? What is a symptom or what are symptoms that we should be like, we need to see a doctor at this point?
Yeah, I always advise people about red flag symptoms. So red flag symptoms are if you feel like you have a cold, but then you have things like shortness of breath, dizziness, confusion, high fevers over 103, that might not be a cold. That might be something like pneumonia or the flu. The other really important thing is if your symptoms are actually getting worse rather than getting better. So a typical flu, you know, virus, people feel the worst around day three, day four, and then they get better from there on out. They might have a lingering cough. They might have lingering symptoms, but by day seven or day 10, they should be better. If you're sick and now it's day five, day six, day seven, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, reach out to your doctor. It might be turning into a pneumonia. It might be moving into your lungs. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I tell people to look for is if your symptoms are persistent longer than 10 days, reach out to your PCP, because again, it might be something else. So it's really red flag symptoms, symptoms that are worsening, or symptoms that are not getting better by day 10.
And pneumonia would be considered a lower respiratory disorder, right?
Okay. Right. Yeah. Pneumonia is lower respiratory. It affects the lungs. Pneumonia can be caused by viruses, but pneumonia can also be caused by bacteria.
Yeah.
And obviously that can be really serious. People need to go to the hospital. There's medications for that. So we want to make sure people aren't developing pneumonia. The other thing we want to make sure people aren't developing is a sinus infection. And if you've got symptoms longer than 10 days, it's a breeding ground for bacteria. And this is when bacteria leaps into your sinuses. And now that simple cold has turned into a sinus infection that might need antibiotics.
And sinus infections can be contagious sometimes and not other times, right?
Yeah. So sinus infections, for the most part, they're not always contagious, but they can be contagious if somebody is sneezing and the droplets are traveling through the air. And really, a sinus infection is really just your sinus beds catching a bunch of pollen and dander and viruses and now bacteria. And all of that builds up and it makes people feel miserable.
I have what I think is a myth that I would love to get clarity on. Physicians have told me different things. You know how people are like, the color of your snot will dictate what's wrong with you? Like, I think I'm like a medical expert. I'm like, my snot is not clear. I must have an infection. Mm-hmm. Or it's like a little green. I think it's, you know, the flu. And I love to be a know-it-all. But I've been told that's an old wives' tale. But then when I go to Dr. Google, they're like, no, it is indicative. Tell me something, please, Dr. Puya. Okay.
There's not good research on that. So we don't that there's any science behind that, because people can have a wild viral infection and your mucus is green, or they can have a bacterial infection and the mucus is clear. And so the snot color doesn't actually tell us anything. That being said, I know a lot of people use snot color like in daycares. It's like if your child has clear mucus, they can stay. But if it's white and thick, they've got to go. And I always laugh at that because I'm like, it doesn't actually mean anything.
Mm. No, your snot is not a mood ring. Okay.
But wait, why is our snot green at that point? Like, what is that about? Because that freaks me out sometimes.
It can change because of pollen and dander and viruses and all kinds of things. So our snot color can really change based on what's inside our nasal passages.
Okay.
I stand corrected. It is a mood ring.
It is a mood ring. It's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
What am I inhaling today? And this is why some people swear by the neti pot daily. Mm-hmm. Using that neti pot daily can help you clear out those sinuses. Other people feel like using a neti pot is the equivalent of waterboarding because they just feel like water.
I had to have sinus surgery when I was 25 because it was so bad. And neti pots, I think they're a miracle. I love a neti pot, but I do get why that's a weird thing to have water flowing through your sinuses.
Yeah.
But I love it. This has been so great. I feel like I learned so much.
I am a doctor now, basically.
Let's not go that far. But you are better informed.
At least you know what doesn't work.
I know. Yeah. I'll give it that much.
Thank you so much.
Of course. It was great to connect with you.
Now it's time for Better in 5. These are our top 5 takeaways from this episode.
Number 1, the common cold is actually just an umbrella term that indicates the nasty symptoms of an upper respiratory issue.
Number 2, there are a lot of claims about what can prevent a cold, but your best bet is keeping your immune system as strong as possible all of the time.
Number 3, there are medicines that treat symptoms, but be discerning when buying them over the counter because they don't all work.
Number 4, getting a flu shot doesn't just protect you, it protects everyone else. So you really do want to get one every fall.
And number 5, it turns out that soup actually is good for us when we're feeling sick. It won't cure you, but it will help you feel better. So Noah, have you been doing colds wrong this whole time?
I think so. Probably colds and flus, because I like to be stoic. I don't like to take medicines if I don't have to.
He's a tortured artist.
Completely. But my medium does not need to be snot or a cough. No, you know, I can make art in other ways. And so like Dr. Bouillon said, like if taking a medicine is going to make me feel better, I think I'm going to take it from now on.
Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, I completely agree. I feel like my focus is going to shift from having the shortest cold possible and getting back to work to nurturing myself to actually feel better. I think that's more of the focus for me.
Don't try to get back to work. There's no need for that.
But I love these people.
Oh, you're so sweet. Anyway, until next time, as long as there are things to get wrong, we're going to be right here to help you do them better.
Love y'all.
Do you have something you think you're doing wrong? Email us at amidoingitwrong@huffpost.com and let us know.
Thank you. Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.